We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's Byte.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to Bear in Mind, the official podcast of Cal Athletics. Here's your host, Todd McKim.
Hi, everybody. Todd McKim, and welcome to another edition of Bear in Mind, the official podcast of Cal Athletics. A little bit later on, with the beautiful weather that we've had this last week, we'll talk a little baseball as the baseball team will open up its season with 4 games in Southern California, 3 against Long Beach State and 1 at UCSB. And you should have another good club for Mike New. But first, we're going to start with men's basketball at home this week against the Arizona schools. Let's start with that before we talk about some other topics. First of all, Arizona on Thursday and then Arizona State Sunday afternoon. Arizona has got 3 young freshmen that may all be first-round draft picks if they come out. Very talented, but as you know, young teams, and you've got one, there's the ups and downs that you've got to go through as a player and a coach. Where do you see Arizona right now?
Well, they have a very talented team, and you're right, it's a young team, and the reason they're probably not in first place is because of the fact that they're young. Because young players are up and down, as we all know. But I do think that they have as talented a freshman class as anybody in America. I mean, they really have some young guys who are just terrific players. And so, you know, for us, you know, to match the talent level, it's going to be hard. We're going to have to compensate with really intelligent play and great effort because Arizona's got a very good club and a very talented club. And besides the freshmen, they have they've got a lot of depth and they got a lot of length and a lot of athleticism and they really have a nice team.
When you have a young team like that, where's the area that through the course of the year either you are most concerned about or that you end up seeing the most improvement?
Well, I think the thing that we're most concerned about is this time right now, when the season is so long And you get to February, and these guys are just mentally fried, and they look like zombies. And we're kind of at that stage, yeah, to be honest with you. And so we had a conversation about it today. But, you know, that's a hard thing to overcome as a freshman, because this is a longer season than they've ever really had in their life when it comes to basketball. And we've still got a lot of really hard games and important games in front of us. And so getting these guys to battle through that is really going to be important. But you also, as you get through the season, the game eventually begins to slow down for these young players, and they become better in their execution, because the game actually slows down. It just appears to, because they're comfortable recognizing how the defense is playing, and they make better reads and better decisions. And so your hope is that offensively, as you get deeper into the season, that these young guys will play with more poise and start to look more like sophomores. But you know, this will be an important month for all of them.
You know, in some leagues, some years at about this time, week number 2 or 3 of the season, you start to see teams for the second time. You've done that with Stanford, but here you've got 2 teams this week that you haven't seen yet in person. Is it more mental, looking at tape and backing off physically with how long you practice, or how do you approach that?
Well, there's a real fine line between how much you practice and still having enough energy to play. And if you just take days off to try and be rested for the games, you lose conditioning, you lose timing, you lose explosiveness. And so we felt like that our team was exhausted after the Utah game, so we gave them Sunday and Monday off. And as we came back to practice on Tuesday, it was hard. I mean, it was like, you know, they were running in sand, and it was hard for them. But it's the only way to try and, you know, get the body started again is to make it move. And you do coach the mind more than the body at this time of the year. But you have to pay attention to the body. And especially with these young guys, it's really challenging. But that's why you see across the country, you see some of these games where there's just these big blowouts, because you know teams are just fried, and on those nights there's as I tell our staff, I said, when you become a head coach, the one thing you have to understand is there's no answer for a tired team, and you got to try and keep them as fresh as you can and mentally as sharp, because when you get to that point, it's really not much you can do to put your arms around it to get it stabilized, to give yourself a chance to win.
You've been on teams, or had teams, that go to postseason play. So you go to, let's say, the Pac-12 tournament, then you get to the NCAA. Does the adrenaline of March Madness overcome some of that?
You know, I think that every team I've had in the postseason, I think every one of them have looked at it like, you know, we've had 5 NCAA teams, and I think every one of those teams, it's been exciting. It's like, yeah, it's so exciting to go. And NIT teams, which we've had a few of those, those are a little harder to get motivated for, because you just came up a little bit short, you know. But your hope is that as your team grows and they realize the great privilege of playing college basketball, that they'll try and maximize every second that they get to play it, because I've never seen a senior happy that his career was over. I mean, it's a heartbreaking feeling to see your career come to an end, because even if you play professionally, you probably won't play in environments or games that matter as much to people unless you end up with a big role on a playoff team in the NBA, and most kids are not going to have that. So the pinnacle of your basketball career is your college career, and so when that comes to an end, it's a sad day. So your hope is that these kids will recognize that early enough that they take advantage of every second they get to play.
All right, I'm going to give you a chance here with the podcast to make a pitch for a couple of things as well. Part of the fatigue that takes place can be travel, okay? And your team was able to charter back from the game against Utah and get back on late Saturday night, but you were then able to have all of Sunday and then have the luxury of, maybe if you wanted to, give them off Monday. I mean, how important is that when you look at some of the other teams in the league and what they do and what the physical capabilities, or fiscal, I should say, capabilities some have over the other?
Well, we did charter home after the game the other night, but essentially because we had to travel home Saturday night in order to, by rule, take Sunday off. We can't, you cannot count a travel day as an off day, and so we had to return by midnight in order to count Sunday as one of our required days off. And because we have three games next week, this week we have to take 2 days off. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of done out of just the essential fact that we had to do it by rule. But the competitively, it would have been wiser to use the charter in between Boulder and Salt Lake because we had the couple delays, in the Denver airport, and essentially we lost an entire day just, sitting at the gate. So, that can be a draining experience on your team, and ultimately, there was more and more teams that are using chartered service to get from point A to point B, just to keep your team fresh, mm-hmm. and it does make a difference, but it's also expensive, so you have to be wise about how you do that. I don't think there'd ever be a reason for us to charter a trip to LA because we have so many flights that go from the same airport here that to the airports we would land at in LA. So it doesn't make any sense, to do that. But from other places, there's going to be times when it does make sense and can give you a little bit of an advantage in having a fresher team. So we'll have to take a hard look at that as we go forward. But it's it's one of the things that's become more commonplace in college basketball and hopefully we can evaluate where we're at and make it a little bit better next year.
Freshmen going through this the first time, there's the academic component. I mean, these guys have all gone through a really tough semester to start, and then they've got to start school, and you're about 3 weeks or maybe 4 weeks into that second term. I mean, for your freshmen, and you've got a bunch of those, how have they handled it, and what do you do to try to help them get through that?
Well, I think that to this point they've handled it pretty well, but I think we feel like in looking at several of them in the last few days that we've kind of hit the wall. And so we talk a lot about relying on your external resources to help you, whether it's through encouragement or the right academic support to make life as easy as we can there. We talk a lot about trying to maintain, how you sleep and eat and hydrate. And then we talk about developing the internal, resources to tap into to just keep yourself, driving forward. But for these young guys, the first time through it, I mean, until you live it, it's hard to get them to understand. And so we're going to, we're going to have to just kind of wrap our arms around them and pull them through it. But the fact that half our team essentially is freshmen, mm-hmm. it's going to make for some challenging moments. But that's okay. Those kids will learn from it. They will eventually be sophomores, and then as they grow up together as a team, the new kids that come in, they'll be able to reach down and really kind of help pull them through it also.
My understanding is the GPA for the team is up. It's been really good so far, so that you and your staff, and credit the kids, they got to do the work, have done a really good job so far.
Well, you got to give all the credit to the kids. I mean, they do all the work. They have been very disciplined. I think all that we do is hold them accountable to make sure that they do what they're supposed to do. But I think we were told in an academic meeting this week it's the highest GPA we've had in a long, long time. And so I'm thankful for the academic support that we get. But all the credit should go to the student-athletes. So those are the kids that read the books and take the tests and write the papers. And these kids have been pretty committed students, and so we're very thankful for that.
And good for them. Sunday, you got Arizona State. A little different animal there. They kind of come at you at waves. Their energy level, due in large part to Remy Martin, is incredibly high offensively, maybe more than a lot of teams in the league offensively. I mean, Remy Martin's just an energizer bunny, and they feed off of his energy as well. And they can look terrible for 5 minutes, and then they can look terrific for the next 5 minutes. They've had some great comebacks this year. Talk about, Remy Martin. He was at the Pac-12 media day, and I don't think he ever stopped. He's just always on the go, 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 and he's kind of the leader there.
Coach Hurley has really done a nice job putting together a team that has length and athleticism, mm-hmm. and power at the basket, but they have a lead guard with great spirit to compete. Mm-hmm. And that just spreads throughout their team. And Remy's had obviously a terrific year. He's scoring the ball at a very high level. but his competitive spirit and his energy just spreads through their team, and that's a great advantage for their program, because the competitive spirit and the relentless approach is hard to prepare for, mm-hmm. unless you have the same amount of energy on your side. So it's an advantage for them, and it's an energy level and a spirit we're going to have to match or exceed when the game comes on Sunday. But to their credit, I mean, he's really having a nice year.
All right, I want to go ahead a week, and I don't want to talk about the basketball component of going to the state of Washington. I'm going to go back to the fact that back in the early 90s, that's where you cut your coaching teeth with Coach Nance, a former FBI guy, and you were there a couple of years with him. You had some great talent, Rich Manning, really good, Mark Pope, who's now the coach at BYU and was on your staff at Georgia. You also had a guard by the name of Tim Caviezel, whose brother Jim ended up being a pretty good actor as well. But that's where you cut your coaching teeth, and also, you know, from a personal standpoint, your growth there and meeting Cindy, your wife, there as well. Is there, when you go there next week, any reminiscences that you'll have with that trip, or is it, you know, too long ago?
No, I think, we just went to Utah where, you know, Trent Johnson got his first start in college basketball, and it was a little emotional for him to walk back in and think, you know, hey, a couple decades ago, this is where it all began. And you start looking back and say that was 30 years ago. But, you know, I'm thankful for Coach Nance giving me an opportunity that at the time, you know, it was the last class of graduate assistants before they were outlawed for a while. And I took the position on a one-year appointment. And I the only thing I knew at the time was how to work. And I remember working, you know, from 7 a.m. to 11 o'clock and just – And
probably loving it too.
And loving it. I still have a paycheck. My paycheck was $256 a month, and rent was $250. And so I had $6 to eat. But it was a great time in my life because I learned the profession from an old school pro. And I don't think at the time that they were really committed to winning basketball games. And I think they've obviously changed that since. But it was really a special time for me to learn what college basketball really was about, and I was fortunate to learn the profession from someone who knew how to do it the old-fashioned way, the right way, and obviously met my wife, and really it springboarded the rest of my career. And so when we go back, will it be a little bit I guess emotional, maybe not emotional, but there'll be some memories certainly that pop up as we walk around every corner. But I'm grateful for the people that came into my life during that time.
Yeah, when you got started there, they were all about football. They had a national championship, and it was all about Purple Haze and Don James. And they've done, I mean, they've kept the same structure of the building, but they've done a really good job up there improving what needed to be improved. It's one of the better environments in the Pac-12, that's for sure. I don't think they still run track indoors at that facility like they used to do. You used to have to be careful that maybe somebody with a pole vault wasn't coming by you as it came out the locker room, if I remember correctly. But they've done a nice job. But again, what was the tie-in? I mean, Lynn Nance had been here at St. Mary's, okay, had success, won a conference championship. You were at Eastern New Mexico. What was the tie-in?
Well, it's funny. I ran into Trent Johnson at a recruiting event, uh-huh. and we just happened to be standing next to each other, and we had a great conversation that lasted for hours. And I told him, I said, Coach, I was still a student. I said, and when I graduate, I'd really like to try and be a graduate assistant. And he says, well, you know, maybe I can help you with that. And so, quite frankly, Trent was the one that got it done for me. And Coach Nance had known my former junior college coach, and he had tried to recruit a guy named Keith Smart, who ended up going to Indiana and becoming the
Keith Smart?
MVP of the Final Four. And Keith has been a lifelong friend, but he had met my junior college coach, and so he had one reference outside of Trent that he could call, and my former coach says that this guy's going to be a good part of you know college basketball one day, and so he gave me a chance, and you mentioned Husky football. Don James's office was literally 20 steps from my office. Mm-hmm. We shared the same coffee pot, and every morning he would give me some nugget about coaching. And I'm forever grateful for Coach James, because I still use things today that I learned through conversations with him. And so there's a lot of things to be grateful for my time there.
Don James, real quickly, the thing that impressed me the most about Don James, obviously a great record, but I can remember doing on a Friday walkthrough interview with him when he came to Eugene one time. And I told him, hi, my name's Todd McKim. He goes, hi, I'm Don James. Like, I didn't know who he was. And during the course of the interview, he kept using my name. And that's unusual. And that was kind of special for a guy that was relatively young in his career at that time. And so that's what I remember about Don James. And you get the same kind of thing, is that he took the time to recognize you and make you feel like you were important, whether it was over a cup of coffee or it was an interview as well. And that was very special, I know, for me at that time, and something I'll always remember about Don James. Hey, Mark, we appreciate you taking the time. I know you're busy, you got a lot to do, but we will talk to you on Thursday night prior to the game against Arizona.
Great. Thank you. Go Bears.
And reminder, if you want tickets to any game or the remaining games for the Bears, 1-800-GO-BEARS. And for all your information, including the podcast, it's calbears.com. All right, time to go outdoors. A little baseball. The baseball team will open up with four games down in Southern California this weekend. Got Long Beach State for three, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Then UCSB on Monday. So a nice way to start the season down south against some California schools. And joining us now is Max Flower, senior outfielder from Campo Lindo High School. So right across the hill. First of all, I want to go back to the high school days, because you guys have, you know, Campo's put a few players in the major leagues. That's been nice to see. We've had some football players here. It's almost like a little feeder for Cal Athletics. Were you on the 14 or 16 state championship football team?
14 state championship football team.
14, yes. Okay. And you were an all-state wide receiver. How did you like playing football?
I loved it. Some of the most fun I've ever had. Really made my whole high school experience just unbelievable.
Yeah. What's the most, other than winning the state championship, any other memories there?
We went 16-0 that year. Just kind of lifelong friendships with some of the guys and the coaches as well. It's awesome.
Yeah. All right, decision to come to Cal. What went into making that?
Academics, Pac-12, Power 5, baseball. Just kind of top tier in all aspects. Everything I was looking for in a university and a baseball program.
So did the current head coach, Mike New, I mean, he was an assistant here. Did he recruit you? Was he part of that recruiting?
Yeah, so I got offered here my sophomore year of high school by Mike. And actually committed to him. And so when he left, I was bummed. And then after my freshman year, he came back, so it was nice. I mean, I've been playing for the guy who actually recruited me for the last couple of years, which has been awesome.
Yeah, turned around pretty good. Talk about, you know, the transition here, because last year, obviously, Andrew Vaughn, 2 years ago, was the player of the year. Last year, he had a great year. You had two guys drafted in the first round last year. Tell us what it was like playing with those guys.
Andrew's definitely the best hitter I've ever seen and been able to play with, and I actually roomed with him my freshman year. So me and him are very close, and it was fun to learn from him and watch him, and just like unlike anything I've ever seen before on the baseball field.
Yeah, he was a tremendous player from my neck of the woods. I live in the North Bay, so he's up there, and was not a power hitter when he was in high school, and yet when he got here, something clicked and the timing was all right, and he ended up being the Golden Spike Award winner 2 years ago, and now playing in the minor leagues, had a chance to play for USA Baseball as well. So great role model for Cal, and certainly a great representative of Cal as well. All right, regionals, you've made that, so you can cross that off the list, but you want to go a little bit further this year. Tell us a little bit about this year's squad.
Yeah, I mean, we were able to make the postseason last year, and that was kind of our goal from the beginning of the year, but now that's kind of the standard. That's not good enough for us anymore. That's not what we're shooting for. We want to go a little bit farther than that, and I think we're definitely capable of doing so.
All right, you got the infield. I mean, three guys back there. Outfield, you got two guys back. Obviously, you got to replace, you know, the first first-round draft pick at the catcher position, another outfielder spot. Pitching is always, you know, you never know from year to year. What do you see as the strength of this team going into the season on Friday?
Yeah, we have kind of a unique situation this year in terms of there were some injuries and movement last year, so actually a lot of the guys taking over positions that got drafted or moved on last year actually got a significant amount of at-bats last year, whether because of injury or moving guys around. So we returned a lot of at-bats, which is good. Like, a lot of guys have experience, even though they may not have been everyday starters, they are still able to get in the game and get some feel. So I think overall, pitching, fielding, hitting, I think we'll put together a really good team.
Yeah, from a team that lost six players that were drafted in the Major League draft last year. I mean, that's pretty good when you figure you got eight position players and you got the pitching staff. So that's a pretty good deal. And Cal has sent a bunch of guys onto the major leagues. Of course, you know, one of them is a current manager, the Oakland A's. So you're growing up, you're in the East Bay. So is it the Niners or the Raiders? Is it the A's or the Giants? Where were the loyalties?
Definitely Giants over A's. I was a big Giants fan growing up. I was always a Niners fan. I was a huge fan of Patrick Willis and Navarro Bowman in the defensive linebacker's position. And once they retired, I kind of became a little bit more neutral and really enjoyed just watching both teams.
Well, so not that you enjoyed, but you had to enjoy the 49ers this year, making it all the way to the Super Bowl, huh?
Yeah, that was incredible to watch.
So you're growing up, though. I mean, that's when the Giants, you know, won those three World Series. I mean, how much fun was that watching those teams?
That was incredible. I mean, I remember pretty much where I was for all three Game 7s, and I was actually able to go to a couple of playoff games. No World Series games, but a couple of playoff games, which was awesome.
Favorite player on those teams?
In 2010, I think my favorite player to watch was Brian Wilson, just because whenever he was in, it was a good spot for us. But other than that, probably Buster Posey.
Yeah, that was the old one, the announcers, it was Giants baseball, the torture. You know, when Wilson came out, he'd take his time, he put a few guys on. Every count seemed to be 3-2, and it was literally a thrill an inning with those teams. And to win it in 2010 for the first time, I mean, what do you remember? You said you remember all game sevens. Where were you at for that one?
That one, I actually was at a basketball practice. I think I was in eighth grade, and we cut it short because we were kind of listening to it on the radio at practice, and everybody was able to get home for probably innings 5 through 9 and kind of watch the celebration after that.
Yeah, awesome times. Great baseball in the Bay Area traditionally with the Giants and the A's. A's have another good team this year. Bob Melvin, former Cal player. I think he was in the 80 World Series for college baseball. And he's doing a terrific job each and every year with the A's. All right, 280 last year for you. About 5 home runs, if I remember, 29 knocks. But you were also named honorable mention all defense in the conference as well. And maybe you earned that honor by making the one play where you caught the ball in foul territory and went over the fence. I mean, what you must take pride in the defense. And what's it like when you get close to the fence there? Either it's the fence in the outfield or one on the sideline. What's the thought process?
Yeah, I definitely take a lot of pride in my defense, both catching the ball and throwing the ball. But in terms of the fence, I mean, I have a fair amount of experience going across the middle against various safeties, so I don't really pay attention to the fence too much.
No targeting calls on that one, that's for sure. The right fielder generally has the strongest arm of the three outfield positions. What is it about right field that you like?
I just enjoy, I mean, you kind of get different reads off the bat. Mm-hmm. I really enjoy all three positions, to be honest with you. But right field's, I mean, you have a ability to make plays against both fence and fair territory, foul territory. And it's the longest throw to third. Mm-hmm. And it's a fun angle to throw down to the plate, too. So it's an enjoyable position for sure.
I've always enjoyed the right fielders because when I was growing up in Pittsburgh, the right fielder at that point in time was a guy by the name of Roberto Clemente. And we used to go to the ballpark early to just to watch him throw from right field, whether it was a bouncer off the wall or in the deep corner, to just watch him throw to third base. The heck with home plate. It's the throw to third that just fascinated me. And that's the throw you have to be able to make if you're going to be a right fielder, because there's a lot of guys that want to go from first to third on a single or something that's in the alley. And if you can cut that off, that extra 90 feet means it's a huge deal.
Yeah, exactly. You grew up watching Roberto Clemente. My favorite player of all time is Vladimir Guerrero. So it's a little bit of the same thing.
Yeah.
Extremely talented and powerful arm. So he was the guy I really watched and paid attention to.
Yeah. All right, so Long Beach State coming up on Friday, Saturday, Sunday. You've had good weather here recently. That helps get you, you know, acclimated, and you can practice outdoors. You don't have to worry about being in the cage all the time. How anxious are you and the guys to get after it on Friday?
We're definitely anxious. We've scrimmaged each other a lot in the last eight or so months, and we're excited to play another uniform, another team.
I'm sure you are. I hope you have another great year as well. Good luck to you. Stay healthy. And hopefully we'll hear your name called maybe in June and see where you go from there. Anyway, thanks for spending time with us, and good luck this season.
Awesome. Thank you very much. Go Bears.
All right, Pac-12 loaded again. Arizona State, UCLA always near the top. The Bears near the top. Oregon State's won some national championships. This is a great, great league. If you get an opportunity to come out and watch the Bears, because they've got a really good home schedule coming up this spring. All right, that wraps it up for this week. We appreciate Coach Fox and, of course, Max Flowers for being with us. A reminder, we'll be on the air for basketball Thursday night. The Bears against the Arizona Wildcats. We'll be on the air with a pregame show at 7. And then on Sunday, we'll be on the air at 2:30 for a 3 o'clock start, the Bears against Arizona State. So for Coach Fox and Max, I'm Todd McKim. Once again, thanks for listening. And as always, go Bears!
This has been Bear in Mind, the official podcast of Cal Athletics, with your host, Todd McKim. The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.